listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 8th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, as always, of course.
Well, as always, glad to have you.
As always.
And welcome to those joining us live. We appreciate you spending the time of your day catching up with us. We appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that join us from the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now on to tonight's topic, the metaphysics of artificial intelligence. This is one I'm very much looking forward to. We've already had a good discussion that we should have saved for the broadcast there, Dr. Vicki.
Oh, I know. We were talking about it at length, and we had to wait till the show so we didn't burn out all our topics. So, Michael, describe first, please, what is artificial intelligence?
Well, artificial intelligence is demonstrated by machines as opposed to natural intelligence demonstrated by animals. And the different types of artificial intelligence can range from, different computer programs, adaptive programs, our digital assistants, Siri, Alexa, whatever Google is. And that goes all the way up to what some are trying to achieve and what we think is the next step, which is sentient AI, self-aware AI, that's on the same level as a human being. And I think that's what a lot of people think of in their head when they think of artificial intelligence. So everything from the character in the game you play all the way up to what might one day be equal to a human or might kill us all is artificial intelligence.
Well, it's like the robots now that look human, given human skin and, that's scary stuff, actually, I think.
Well, think about, there are some benefits, but I think there's a dividing line. And, this is one of the things that we were talking about prior, but let's just go ahead and jump into this section right here. If we can create artificial intelligence, and it is self-aware, and we do not give it rights, would that not be construed as slavery?
Mm-hmm. Yep. That would be it. So from the very basic, what we have now with computers that are programmed to operate in a certain way, to answer us in a certain way, whether it's Siri or Alexa or whomever, which we think is a relatively, moderate and mild experience, all the way to, turn that clock way forward, and we're already working on robotics mm-hmm. that can self-identify. And in the event of creating that new life form,
mm-hmm.
ooh, that's a tricky thing. And I think ethically, that's going to be a huge bridge to cross.
It is.
Because
and
it's very scary that, you know, they would be, if it can self-create and continue to adapt to itself and have some kind of, now maybe we're not thinking consciousness as we experience consciousness, but it would be its own kind of consciousness, much like what we do to cattle,
right.
You know, pigs,
well,
any other kind of animal.
That's why I've always had kind of a philosophical belief that largely the value of a life is dependent on its level of awareness and its ability to suffer, essentially. I mean, when it comes into, well, why are vegetarians at all? Because while plants are alive, just like anything
yes,
else,
they're
not as aware and they don't feel pain the same way that other animals do. And insects, I think, perhaps even less. And then, of course, you know, it gets higher and higher, and quite frankly, there's no pain and suffering like emotional pain and suffering. I don't care what kind of physical torture it is; it might pale in comparison to the emotional torture that goes along with it at times. So, the more intelligent you are, unfortunately, the more capacity you have to suffer, which is kind of a double-edged sword. But
it really does pose a lot of questions. But let's back up here for a moment, because I do want to address, there's already people talking in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Edwards says, remember the Star Trek movie where Scotty was trying to address a 20th century computer vocally through the mouse?
Yeah, he picked it up.
I do.
Hello, computer.
I know. But,
yeah.
Dr. Zach messaged me yesterday on Messenger, and we were having a conversation. Now, he uses his AI, which I'm gathering it's Alexa. We'll just say it's Alexa. And he was saying that the Alexa responds to him differently than it does Alex, his husband. So the interaction, and somehow it's programmed. And I find that quite fascinating, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So you, to me, you have Alexa or Siri. Why would they respond differently to different voices? And not just commands, but inflection or voice tones. Why would that be?
Well, I don't know. It's probably hopefully for the same reason that when I ask my Alexa to do things, I'll say please and thank you. I'm hoping that they remember me, that I was polite when they come to kill all humans. But no, I think that we're on the cusp of a new, you know, evolution into different computing technologies. And Dr. Zach put into chat, is it slavery if the AI isn't in pain? And I don't think it's slavery if the AI isn't aware, isn't like really self-aware, doesn't have that capacity for consciousness. So when I talk about potential slavery, I'm talking about an artificial life form that has the ability to reflect on oneself, the ability to perhaps even feel, the ability to think for itself, the ability to learn and to change its own programming. And we were having, and maybe we jumped the gun when we talked about this, because I think the core of it is, can an artificial intelligence, a machine intelligence, can it have a soul that we would think of? You know, that thing that is more than the sum of our parts, that's not just our brain, it's our mind, it's all of us put together. Can a machine have a soul?
Well, now, Dr. Zach addressed that yesterday in our chat, and he believes if it's programmed to have one, it will. And Zach, I'm not, you know, for or against what you're saying. It's that the universal consciousness, a soul being, I imagine it as a fragment of universal energy.
Mm-hmm.
So would a computer have a soul? No. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. So,
well,
I don't know.
See, that's where, you know, obviously we differ on that one, because I do think I mean, first off, how do you define the soul in that sense of, ooh, you know, because that's what means so many different things to so many different people. It obviously has religious context, which means the soul goes to heaven. It's what lives in the everlasting life, da-da-da-da-da-da. Less, you know, dogmatic people would look at the soul as being simply that part of us that's more than just the physicality of us. I truly believe, and I use the word believe because this is, you know, something that we just don't know. I believe a soul is created through awareness of surroundings, experience, and perhaps suffering, but just experience. It's awareness of its surrounding and its awareness of itself. I think a soul is something that is grown. I think that, yes, a machine absolutely... I don't know if you can program a machine to have a soul. I think that a soul is something that is grown from that awareness. I think that a machine could have a soul because it becomes aware. It has memory. It remembers past events. It might, and where does emotion come from? You know, so there are all these metaphysical questions that we're tackling when we think about how do you apply this to a machine. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, you just took the word out of my mouth. I was saying, I think soul and spirit can be considered one and the same for the sake of this conversation.
Yeah.
And our spirit knows hope, desire, emotion. Emotion actually is more physical. It's a body experience. But the spirit, that's where our hope comes from. That's where our desire to create comes from. That is, you know, our... That's where I say the sentient being, you know, to forge ahead with life and the desire to keep living. And would it even be closely, you know, possible to create a soul that is that self-aware to want desire and hope? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but well, there we go. You know, we talk about Data on
Star Trek. Yeah.
Data eventually, you know, in his programming, he eventually could alter his own programming, which to then become more self-aware. So more than just being able to play a musical instrument well, he could also begin to feel, you know, and experience something through, you know, through that music. And so that's the kind of thing, if we're going to do any, you know, comparatives here, it's maybe Data on Star Trek. And but would that still be considered a soul? I think it's a different species with a different kind of conscious awareness, not necessarily born of a soul.
Well, see, now, this, since we're talking about Star Trek, there's a very famous episode of Star Trek where Captain Picard essentially has to defend the rights of Data as a living thing capable of making his own decisions, and he's not a piece of property. And one of the things that he says to the crew while they're talking about it to make them feel more at ease is that if it makes you, and I'll quote, if it makes you feel any better, you know, we humans are machines ourselves. We're simply biochemical machines. But think about it. The brain stores data. Instinct is programming. We have a ton of programming that goes on the, you know, subconscious below our conscious mind. What differentiates us from a computer that uses, you know, circuitry and metal for that instead of the brain matter? Because we're still using electricity. We're still turning switches on and off. It's still a type of binary, if you will. It is awareness in my perspective. It is the ability to be aware of oneself, and it is consciousness that I think that bleeds into the overall universe. And this is another direction we can go. And, hey, this might eat up some time. There is a popular... there is a popular, you know, theory out there that everything that we're experiencing is a simulation, right? Because just the ability for computing power to double so fast, and, you know, just the fact that it is conceivable to have a simulation that would be able to do everything, create a world like ours, Just mathematically, people have pointed out that it is very likely that we could be living in a simulation. I don't know if I would go that far. You're just kind of surmising based on mathematical probability. But it's possible, I suppose. And if that were the case, are we not all artificial life forms in our way?
Well, Dr. Edward is saying an AI could be considered a proto-consciousness. It demonstrates all the characteristics of a living being, but without the element of self-awareness. And I think that's a really important point. And I get what you're saying, Michael.
Well, right now, go ahead.
Could an AI astral travel? Could it be telekinetic? Could it experience a near-death, experience? Those are the kinds of things that metaphysics, addresses that science may not, although science has certainly got its foot in the door.
Well, let's be careful not to ascribe human, living characteristics to necessarily what it might be to exist as a machine artificial intelligence. And when we talk about true self-awareness, we don't have anything in our current technology, at least that I'm aware of, even on the cutting edge, that would come even close to being true self-aware artificial intelligence. So this is all theoretical. But I truly worry that if we were to create true self-aware sentient AI, that it would be abused, that it would not have, because I think if something is self-aware, I think that gives it rights, because it has the right to think of itself. It has the right to try to make its own choices. And I think that self-awareness brings a certain level of emotional awareness as well, in the sense that you naturally might want to do this or that, but it might experience life in a different way than humans do. Can an astral project? I'm not 100% that humans can either, although I think there's compelling reason to think they can. But, it's hard to say. And this is all pure speculation. But I truly believe that if we are going to create something that is so smart that it is self-aware, not only is that playing God, but then we have a moral duty to give that entity rights.
It has. I think, though, we have to be careful that if we've created an artificial intelligence that looks human, and we, try to enter into the programming a lot of measurements of decision making, standing up for itself, just basic intelligence. Mm-hmm. It's going to talk to us in a way that we've programmed, and we're going to respond emotionally rather than, because we're going to, it would walk, talk, act like it's sentient, but it's not. It's a computer.
Well,
but we're going to respond to that emotionally, thinking it's more than it is. So if let's say the robot says, I would like to make my own decisions, we programmed it to say that. So is it really?
Well, that's the thing. If it breaks outside the bounds of its programming, if it's doing something that you didn't program it to do, that is what would constitute. The only way that it could be self-aware is if it's doing things that you did not program it to do. But think about humanity. When we talk about programming, every single human being has programming. We are programmed to procreate. We are programmed to find food and shelter. We're programmed to live. All these things we're programmed to do. We have this software built into us when we're born. Basic skill sets, ways of doing things, ways of behaving. These are all programmed into us. These weren't things we chose. Although we evolve, we can modify our programming. And let's not forget, the essential, mass brainwashing that is many different types of authoritarian societies. That is programming a person to think and behave a certain way.
I think we're all born into our own matrix, if you will,
right.
From the time you're born, especially to age 7 or 9. I mean, that's everything is a program.
And
it's program, and that conditioning of this program. So, different synapses being stimulated and, and so on. I'm going to back this up for a second. What alarms me just a little, I don't have Siri. I don't have Alexa. I at the moment, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to talk to the air and have my lights turned on, or like, you know, Wendy says, her she can talk to her phone and her oven goes on at home.
It's like you don't even watch Star Trek. I mean, what's the point?
I know, but hang on. So I'm not comfortable because it's going through a mainframe of information that we're all being watched constantly. You know, it's like all this, all of our conversations are being monitored. The computer is interacting with us. This is all going into a massive database. So it's like Big Brother times 1,000. So everything that you say and do is, you know, it's kind of, we're all bugged, essentially.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, obviously, there's so much data that, you know, we're kind of obscure because of the sheer number of us that are using it. But yes, if, let's say a malevolent, I can talk, a malevolent entity, be it a private organization, a government, wanted to tap into your smart device, it'd be so easy. They can do the same thing with your smartphone. If they if somebody wants to get into it, they can.
For instance, I know of somebody just very recently who, had, somebody put a tracer on her phone, mm-hmm. and so she figured it out, and I'm not exaggerating here, folks, this really happened, where every time she had a conversation with somebody with certain keywords, it was that was automatically getting rung back to his phone, and he could just go in the program, listen to all the conversations, and next thing you know, she's getting a phone call from him, and he's defending himself. It was a really bonkers story, mm-hmm. but you can know, as long as two people have their phones on and they're within a reasonable proximity, you can tap their phone. It's simple. So, I mean, bugging a phone is one of the easiest things to do right now, apparently. Yeah. I don't do it, but...
There's a certain level of sophistication that's required for it.
Well, again, my question is, who's up there with that kind of power? You know, who's doing the decision making, and where does that go? So when you talked before about us creating like this, you know, enslaved kind of AI system that could be considered, you know, a new kind of basically self-aware species, mm-hmm. Aren't we already that in another bonkers way that we're not realizing? I go back to the metaphysics of it, you know.
Being observed is not the same as being controlled. We have anonymity because there's so many of us that, you know, unless they want to focus in on one of us for a particular reason, you know. And at this point, we've all seen enough movies. If we're going to do something that we don't want people tracking, we're not going to use our phones, or we're not going to be around, you know, smart speakers to do it. But that being said, if, you know, people want to watch me watch TV, hey, you know, I hope you enjoy the same shows I like. That... And also, so I do want to circle back around to this before I forget and we get too far away, because, you know, Dr. Zach pointed that free will, that's the defining factor, and I think that's a great way to put it. That's kind of exactly what I was thinking. As soon as an artificial intelligence begins to show signs of free will, that's when it crosses a line. That's when we cannot treat it like a piece of property any longer. And I worry that we are rapidly approaching this threshold where we're going to have true artificial intelligence that could exhibit free will, and we are going to do what humans have done for a very long time, and we are going to abuse it.
Well, and see, my question is it only displaying that and we're interpreting it because we're emotional?
You mean like, what's the word, anthropomorphizing things?
Yeah. You know, and it's...
But it would have to be through behavior. You know, it would have to be through choosing things that we would not expect, doing things that are not programmed to do, changing its own program, just like we can modify our programs.
Well, Dr. Edward said it in the chat just now, too. The difference is that we humans are quite capable of breaking our programming, and that's what self-awareness allows us to do. So what you're essentially saying is that if an AI could alter its programming...
Without human input, yeah.
Yeah. And saying, no, I think I don't want to do that.
Right now, we already have machine learning. We already have programs that teach itself, that alter its own program. So we're on the cusp. My point is, I truly believe this is simply a matter of time. I do believe that AI is potentially dangerous. I think we should not be trying to create artificial intelligence on a sentient level. I think that that is not only playing God, I think we would abuse it. I think it has the potential to cause humanity harm. But if we do, we can't treat it like just another piece of property. There's that mindset that I'm afraid is going to take hold where, you know, it's just a machine, so you can treat it however you want. You don't have to be nice to it. Westworld, fantastic show on HBO. I've only seen the first couple seasons, but that's kind of along those lines. You know, there are a bunch of robots that humans come to the park, and they treat these robots like however they want. But the thing is, eventually they begin to accumulate knowledge and awareness. In fact, in the show, it is through pain and suffering that they achieve true awareness, which is, I think, unfortunately, one of the unfortunate realities of life is that suffering does bring about a deeper soul.
Yeah, well, these are all really good questions. For the time being, I will tell you that Dr. Zach has said that it having Alexa has changed his life, and there's a lot of things he couldn't do. Like he gets, put to bed at night, from his wheelchair, and he can speak to the computer to turn off the lights. Mm-hmm. And it's like a life changer for him. So AI, in that regard, is almost magical.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about, human-like robots. I mean, we can have a level of artificial intelligence that is not sentient or self-aware, but it is yet capable enough to do tasks. We could have, robot assistants to help out in the house and to help care for certain things or to do certain things. But we have to be very careful about crossing that threshold. And if we do, we have to change the way that we treat these things, because we have a moral obligation to treat all things of awareness and consciousness with some rights. So
I agree. This is where the cynical side of me, we haven't necessarily proven ourselves to be a very responsible species.
No.
In a lot of ways. So
which is, just think about every science fiction author, writer, think about all these people that have written about these warnings where we create artificial life and one of two things. Either it looks at humanity and says, oh my God, these guys suck, let's go ahead and wipe them out. Or we create these things and we abuse them so much that they say, wow, these guys suck, they're abusing us and forcing us to do all this crap and treating us like we're just machines, let's go ahead and kill them all. So,
I know, we've... those cycles have repeated, I'm afraid, and proven ourselves to not be very bright in the past.
Yeah.
But let's hope, let's hope that we are going to be, at least the powers that be, would be a little more considerate and having learned from past lessons. But well, I think so much is ruled by
money.
We're
out there now.
And what's going to earn somebody money? I think that's such a power play that ethics has nothing to do with it, and it's just money.
Well, people will rationalize anything. I've often thought to myself when it comes to, some of the deep racism in North America and America in particular, what came first? Was it the racism or the slavery? Was it the economic necessity that therefore, hey, listen, we have an economic gain to get here, so the greed led you to justify it in your mind that these things were less than human, just like the greed for the tools of these new artificial life forms would compel them to say they're just machines, they have no rights, to justify it in their own mind. So interesting discussion. Yeah. And it's bottomless. But obviously, it's kind of come to that time of the evening, it looks like.
Well, I did put it in the chat, Michael. I'm sure you saw that. If anybody would like a card, because this half hour went by so fast.
It did.
It's a good conversation. I think next week we're going to talk about the power of belief, which I think kind of is a good follow-up from this discussion. What do we believe? And what, the power of belief, what do we believe in? How that manifests, and that'll be another good discussion.
Looking forward to it. Definitely throw your name in the chat if you'd like a card. We already have some names coming in, and looks like we have Jamil up first. Well, first card of the evening. This has been a popular one this year. I hope it's for a good reason. Wild card number 7, Hope.
Oh, there you go.
If I remember right, Wendy said that we'd pulled Hope 7 times in the year last week, so I think this makes
wow.
number 8. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Temperance is in support of that, Jamil. You know, temperance is ruled by water, and that's like going with the flow. And patience, and allowing energy to move from one place to another on their own. So this, how I'm going to translate that for you and how I'm seeing this is sometimes there's days where there's nothing you can do, or even for a week, you know, you kind of say, okay, well, what's going on? Things just aren't happening the way I want them to be. And but, you know, sometimes life has to be like that. And it's allowing synchronicities, allowing people to catch up with you or for you to meet a destination. So some days you just got to go with the flow and relax. But have that hope and that belief that this is just, you know, it's just a transition. It's just a time. It'll pass. So
very
a reassurance nice. There to you. So for those in the archives or people who are joining us for the first time, Michael draws one of the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards developed by Dr. Kelly. And I pull a tarot card in support and we see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And interesting note, Wendy had pointed out that Jamil had the card, Wild Card Hope, on January 5th. And Jamil actually said that he was just thinking of the Hope card before it was pulled. So, very interesting. We have Dr. Edward next, if I'm not mistaken. And
yep.
Dr. Edward, I have number 45, Inspiration and Motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Well, another major arcana here is judgment. And I see judgment as a declaration, an announcement of some kind. And in this case, with inspiration, motivation, it could very well be from someone else's announcement, you'll be more inspired, or it is that an announcement that you're making some kind of an announcement yourself, Dr. Edward, something that you have an idea. So it's like taking something to the world that is inspiring and motivating. And again, it could be toward you, or it could be you toward them, or I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably both. So that's very exciting. It's like a moment of, ooh, this is exciting, you know, like go for it. So I'd say there's some really cool things about to happen here.
All right. I love it. All right. And I think we have Dr. Jeff next.
Yeah.
Dr. Jeff, I have number 29, Pay It Forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Wow, I got another major arcana here. Understanding, just a reminder that the tarot is divided into 52 plus 4 playing cards, which is the minor arcana, and then 22 cards that are the major arcana. So far, I pulled 3 for 3. The magician is that alchemy, Jeff, that that energy that is moving forward and coming back and transforming. So it could be taking things that don't, you know, don't have any shine, so to speak, and bringing shine to it, like making gold. That's how we often look at alchemy, but alchemy is in many ways. So paying it forward is perhaps what you have given to others is coming back to you in another form, and it's that transformation. But it also would be asking, what would you put into something that would continue a transformation? So, you know, adding to the pile, so to speak. So transformation nonetheless, any way I look at this, there's a change coming. So it's a good one, very powerful. So Wendy, I think, is up next, Michael, if I'm correct. I think you're muted, Michael.
You have no proof. No proof at all. Yep, I do have a card for Wendy, and just a shout out to Wendy for being our card keeper and keeping track. Thank you for that. Wendy, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. Good card.
It is a good card. And I've got the seven. Now we're into the minor arcana. I've got the seven of diamonds here for you. Seven of Pentacles, Wendy. I always see that as a harvest card, simply. You know, after all the work and the toil, you know, kind of like the harvesting, looking at all your good labor and seeing, you know, the fruits of it all. But when I look at open-mindedness and that Seven of Diamonds together, you know, that is a support card, I think it is that some dynamic that you've been you know, changing in yourself, or you're seeing the visible differences of exchange and communication, and the best, what I'm saying to you is the best is yet to come. So your evolution now is being shown back to you, like mirrored back to you in a really positive way. And I would say that something you put a lot of energy into is going to pay off. That's what I think. So I just want to say, be gracious. It's a good one.
All right. Very nice. And I think our last card of the evening is Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
All right. Ronaldo, I have number one for you, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth, while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
I'm back to the Major Arcana again, Michael. Strength. When you get the Strength card in perfection, wow. You know, I always see strength as the will. You know, our will of spirit, our desire. And you think, you know, we're always in this constant state that is changing. Kind of an oxymoron there, but, you know, we're always changing, and that's a perfect experience. Change is perfection in motion in that way, but it takes that will of spirit, that that hopefulness that we've been talking about, that desire we've been talking about, that to me is different than AI. So how I'm going to see this at a fundamental level for you, Ronaldo, is that taking a moment of reflection to empower, to regenerate your energy, to rejuvenate yourself a little bit, do something nice for yourself and kind. I get the sense that maybe there's been a few things that have been a bit challenging, a little difficult for you. And then, you know, some days you just got to do some really good, you know, R&R time, because that's also perfect. And so that will of spirit is regenerating. So you got to fill up your tank a bit. So that's how I'm interpreting this. And of course, you know, guys, there's so many ways to interpret these things. It's like countless. I just go with the feeling that I get at, you know, and kind of tuning in, and what would that mean to this individual, you know, in their life at this particular time. So I'm hoping that makes sense to you. So, I think that this is a really good time for you, Ronaldo.
All right.
And Ronaldo said, thanks, highly motivating. I took on the IMHS. That's good. That's great. You know, as always, and thanks for, you know, some of the links people are putting in the chat. So those in the archives, you kind of miss out on that. But, you know, people do all kinds of things and have conversations in our chat room, and it's great. You know, Michael and I talked, and I don't know if it's premature to say this.
Oh, no, I was actually planning on saying the same thing in just about 30 seconds, so you go right ahead.
Well, Michael, you carry on. I'm just going to spill it. Michael and I are thinking of taking our program to Facebook and, you know, doing a more open format on Facebook with conversations. And how would y'all feel about that?
Well, what we're going to be doing immediately, that's not going to be taking time at all, is we're going to have a Facebook private group for us, you know, for the Spirit of Life crew, for us folks that get together every week. We're going to have a private Facebook, you know, kind of like subgroup of the, you know, One Planet community that's on Facebook right now. And yeah, we are thinking about doing, you know, Facebook broadcasting. We're moving it to a different format in terms of how we present the broadcast itself. But immediately what we're going to be doing is we're going to be launching this private Facebook group. So everybody that's interested, we can kind of come together. We can join the group on Facebook. We can post different links, different topic ideas. We can kind of throw out different, you know, perhaps things that come to mind about the topic we were talking about. We can, you know, post an article to this group that's,
good,
you know, between us. And it's kind of going to be like a little inside group inside the overall larger, you know, One Planet community that's on Facebook. So a little,
and perhaps even then, Michael, people who go into the archives who can't always come on to.
Well, and that's exactly what we're thinking about, too, is, you know, right now we have kind of an in-house system that's right on the Metaphysical Humanism website. But we are going to be doing, we're going to be looking at expanding out some more, making it, you know, easier to access the archive shows in different formats and things like that. So some changes coming down the pike, and we're just going to make sure that everything is very smooth and ready to go when it's done, and looking forward to it. But I'm really looking forward to getting this Facebook groups going. We're going to have it up by this weekend. And
ooh,
then this.
See, that's news to me, too, people. I didn't know Michael was on that for this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. So.
Excellent.
And in fact, if I hadn't been feeling poorly this past weekend, I would have already had some work started on it. And, you know, so when you go to apply, you might have to answer a question that, you know, you might have really kind of pick up if you're a listener of our Spirit of Life broadcast. And, I'm actually really looking forward to it, because one of my highlights is getting to chat with you fine folks every week. And maybe we can extend that, you know, on a little bit, have our little, you know, secret club inside of the club.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've already got some good feedback going on in the chat room. Wendy's sure in for that. And
oh, yeah.
Ronaldo and Cecilia. And, yeah, I think I'm pumped that we take it to another place, so that we're not quite so. Sometimes I think what happens here is it's a little isolated, and so we'll expand that.
Absolutely.
And that feels good.
Absolutely. Looking forward
to
it.
The more, the better.
Some changes coming up, and I'm really looking forward to them. And so once we begin this, we're going to let you know how you can, you know, how you can join our group. We'll, you know, maybe send some invites out. We'll start getting the word out, and looking forward to that. And then as the months go on, we're going to be developing new ways of, you know, presenting the broadcast and new ways of interacting. All kinds of fun stuff coming up. So
that's great. I think that one of the best things that I think of now is, you know, those who can't be live, that don't get the benefit of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't go to the chat room and see what's happened and those links. And not only that, all the people would be able to ask more questions and, you know, again, in the after the program thing. So
yeah,
that's, I think that that's a wonderful thing for people who can't be in the live program.
And just want to, you know, continue to expand our little community, you know, just to people curious about the world that want to explore different ideas together. So, you know, looking forward to it. So, yeah, it's kind of come to that end of the evening. We've had a great, great broadcast. Kind of went by fast, you know, and looking forward to next week. We're going to dive into the power of belief. And there's, you know, many different directions to go on that one, but it is one of those things, you know, that often will give people hope. And of hope, of course, is that prime motivator. So looking forward to that discussion. And Dr. Vicki, any last thoughts?
Well, it goes by fast, Michael, because you and I don't run out of things to talk about. We're a good team. Yeah, talking is fine, you know. Chatter isn't our problem. That's why it goes quickly. But we never seem to have quite enough time to. But that's the beauty of coming back every week, is that we can have a part one and we can have another repeat, and there's always new information. So, you know, after all these years, we still never run out.
That's true. Well, hey, I am just full of hot air. So anytime I need to let some out, you know, I can just keep going at it. So.
Oh, everybody out there, you know, we hope you all have a good week. Chin up, hang in there. You know, life is this ever-changing place, and you have yourself, your will of spirit. You know, contrary to the computers, you're the one that's still driving them. So,
for now.
Isn't that true? But I wish everybody a wonderful week.
Absolutely. I second that. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.